Hey guys, I cannot tell you how good it feels to press record after taking a little bit of a break. I've had a crazy busy travel schedule with my full-time gig, so I've been taking a little bit of a break to focus on that, but this week I am back and I'm super excited to share with you guys my first interview episode with my partner in crime, Elizabeth Teal. So since the last time you heard from me, I've had two back-to-back trips. I know that I told you guys a little bit about our awesome trip to Los Angeles for Expo West, and I recently just got back from New York where we were an exhibitor at BeautyCon. That was a really, really fun experience. The brand marketing team really spearheaded the entire operation, and it was so much fun to spend the weekend sharing about our products with people who had never even heard of us before. So it was a really great experience. I'm super thankful to have had it with an awesome team. Those days are always super tiring, but I am especially thankful for the group of ladies I work with every single time that we have these challenging experiences, because it reminds me that I'm just exactly where I need to be. So when you're traveling a lot, you may not feel the best. When you're on your feet for 12 hours, you're not eating right, you're not in your normal routine, things can feel a little wonky, and everyone on our team is so good about their health and exercise and cooking food every single night. So we are all in it together when it comes to being knocked off balance. So literally every morning we would wake up and we would take some sort of immunity or wellness shot, which is amazing. Usually they have some sort of cayenne, ginger, turmeric mix to make sure that we are all staying healthy and energized. And the pro tip for events where you work literally all day without much of a break is to have a really awesome, delicious breakfast. So most of the days you would have some Australian type of breakfast, which I've now become obsessed with after going to New York and going to all of the Australian cafes. They seriously know how to do it right with the poached eggs and the salads for breakfast. I am so into it and I can't wait to go to Australia one day now. But usually if we have a breakfast full of greens and fat and protein, it really does set you up to have an awesome, energized day. So I definitely learned the importance of starting your day off on the right foot. Making sure that you're hydrated is also something that's super important on event days. So if you're like me and you're constantly at events or on your feet for long periods of time, that is definitely what I recommend. Make sure you have a water bottle with you at all times. I was able to debut my fanny pack, which everyone makes fun of me for, but I love fanny packs. And at BeautyCon, everyone appreciated a good fanny pack. So I was in my element. And I always had my go-to right now is the Julian's Bakery Paleo Thin Bars. And my favorite are the chocolate brownie and the sunflower butter. I do want to add that they do kind of taste like Tootsie Rolls. I'm the kind of person who's going to eat something based on the ingredients and the calories and the macros. And these bars only have 150 calories. They're basically made out of egg whites, mostly. Super low in calories, very low in carbs, 1 gram of sugar, and they don't taste the best in the world. But like I said, I would rather eat something with really great ingredients that didn't taste amazing. And they do the job. They have 20 grams of protein. So I usually order those on Amazon, and they have been my go-to for all my travels recently. I also always like to have some RX bars just because they do have that extra bit of fat in them, which does help you stay full. And my last tip is definitely my favorite one recently, which is inulin fiber powder. I ordered an organic inulin fiber powder off of Amazon, and I've been taking it everywhere with me. You're supposed to take it up to 3 times a day, and I probably take it twice a day. I put 1 scoop in my black coffee in the morning with stevia while I'm intermittent fasting, and it really, really helps me stay full at the beginning of the day and make it all the way until my eating window. So I really, really love that organic inulin fiber. It's tasteless, it's odorless, you don't even know it's in there. And it really, really does help with digestion and bloat and, like I said, staying full to make it through your intermittent fasting window. So definitely recommend that as well. So I am so happy to be home after BeautyCon. I spent another week working remotely out of New York, which was really, really fun for me. I had never really been able to experience New York that way, getting around the subway on my own, failing at getting around the subway on my own. It was kind of a disaster the whole time, but I was proud of myself for the most part figuring it out and getting to where I needed to be. Luckily, I didn't have any time restraints that were too important to make. So when I did make mistakes and it took me an hour and a half to get somewhere, it was just an annoyance and not really a big deal to be late to anything. But I stayed with my best friend and her fiance, who are getting married in 3 weeks in France. So I have yet another pretty hefty travel schedule coming up, but I could not be more excited for her. It was really great to be able to stay with them and spend time with them. They have two cute little puppies that are like my little nephews that I loved cuddling with, and it helped me not miss Leo and Xenon and Keegan as much, because I got to hang out with them. And I'm just really thankful for the opportunity to work remotely so I could stay with them. And then last weekend, went to my best friend's bridal shower, and we did a little night out on the town for her bachelorette. So it was a very fun weekend, extremely busy. When I got home yesterday, I immediately took a 3-hour nap, and I didn't even know I needed to take a nap, but I just fell asleep for 3 hours. I woke up, had like 2 squares of Lily's dark chocolate, and then went right back to sleep. So I clearly needed it, but I'm so thankful to be back on my regular routine today and to be recording and sharing this awesome interview with you. Elizabeth and I were hired together last year, and we just became fast friends. We work extremely well together. We are always on the same page. We have gotten to the point where we know what each other's thinking just by a single look. We have each other's backs so fiercely. Another thing I love about my job is that I never ever feel like there is competition between us. It's always collaboration and us lifting each other up, which is such a refreshing environment to be in, especially when we have a mainly female team. So it's just been such a blessing getting to work with her. She's taught me so much. We've learned so much about ourselves and each other and how to work together as a team to really smash our goals out of the park. And I'm excited for you guys to hear a little bit more about our dynamic, about what we do every day, and kind of how we got to be working in influencer marketing, because as different as our stories are and as different as our backgrounds are, we are very similar in a lot of ways. So I hope you guys find this episode interesting. It is longer than my usual episode, but it's because we pack a lot of awesome information and fun stories and banter. So again, I hope you guys enjoy this different episode from me. Stay tuned for more interviews coming up, and I will talk to you next time. Well, today I really want to get into where we both started in our careers and our journeys, and kind of give the listeners and the audience an insight into how we got to where we are. Oftentimes, I say that I could never tell my high school self what my job, I couldn't have explained what my job is today. If you had asked me at 16 years old, what are you going to be doing in 10 years? This job did not even exist, which is kind of validating, because in my previous episodes, I've talked about how I've never really known my 10-year plan or exactly what my future would look like. And it's validating to know that it's always kind of been because I knew I would make my own way and pave my own way, and it was nothing like I had seen before, which is exciting. Yeah. We can own that. So I just want to talk a little bit to you, Elizabeth, about what your background is from college and kind of how you found your way to Ancient Nutrition.
Yeah, so I guess with college, I always had like a knack, and like I was always drawn to like communicating with people and like connecting with the public. And so I went to Villanova University and I majored in communication, surprise, surprise, with a concentration in public relations and journalism, and exactly kind of fit my niche in terms of like my skill set and what I loved. But after I graduated, I wasn't exactly sure where that would take me. So random year after college, I spent volunteering with AmeriCorps. And I worked at a middle school. I just did tutoring and mentoring public school kids in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that was just like a year for me to kind of like give back in a way, which sounds really cliche, but just to like kind of figure myself out. I knew I didn't want to work in a school or do teaching, but it was a great time for me to kind of just figure things out. So after that year was done, I moved to Nashville and I started interning and then ultimately working at a PR agency. And I was there for 3 years. And I had, I think it was the perfect first job because I had experience with writing, with social media, with creating like brochures and managing social media accounts and writing press releases. And so I got like a really full umbrella of different skill sets that I could ultimately bring into my next job, which I knew I didn't want to work at a PR firm forever, but it was the perfect way for me to get started and figure out what I was good at. So I was always drawn to social media. I thought it was the perfect way to like connect with people. Just being a millennial, it was like something that's always been on my radar. And so finding a job that like married my my love of social media and my like passion for wellness and nutrition, it like just led to my current role as, which is the same as Julia, as an influencer marketing specialist at Ancient Nutrition. And yeah, I mean, I just think it's like the ideal combination of passion and things that I love and what I'm good at. And so I really feel like I've just kind of culminated all of the things into this job. So I love it. Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about how you chose. I'm going to go way back. How did you choose your major in college? Did you know that that's what you wanted to be when you went into college? Did it change when you were there?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think back. Like, it feels like so long ago when we were in college. Like, we graduated like 5 years ago.
The thing that I realized is social media wasn't even, it was barely a thing when we were in school. I think I took one or two classes that involved social media.
Yeah.
And all we do now is social media. That's where our job lives. Yes. So I think it's super interesting that we both kind of started our careers. We couldn't major in what we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
So thinking about what we transferred from a PR marketing communications background into what we do now, because, you know, when people ask us how we got started or what made us interested in this, both of us have a writing and a marketing background first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, just for the options that were at my college, communication was like a really broad field, and so I think I ended up declaring my major like my sophomore year, so like I had my freshman year to kind of just take gen ed classes and figure it out. And I was like, I know that I'm attracted and drawn to these certain things, like I love writing, I love communicating, I love public speaking, so what's the major that will kind of encompass all of these things and that's broad enough for me to not have to like figure out my shit yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that communication like just was great for me to be able to be like, okay, like this is, I'm going somewhere with this, but I still get to like figure things out. And then PR, I ended up like concentrating in that like further down the line, because as I took classes and stuff, I thought that PR was great because it was like a way to like directly connect with people, and I love that like human connection piece too. So I think that's kind of where what my path was. And you had a kind of like a similar experience in college, right, with PR?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, again, just reiterating, the options when we were in school are completely different than they are now.
Yeah.
But I think that that's in a lot of different fields. I think being adaptable as you get older and further along in your career, constantly learning and studying and taking it upon yourself to teach yourself the skills that you need for the jobs that you want. I think it's very few and far between to study or concentrate in something during college that directly relates to what you're doing after. I think in most fields, you have to be willing to continuously learn.
Right.
So that's an interesting thing about where we come from is that, you know, we're just taught to constantly be learning and looking out for new trends. And if you learn anything in college, it's about how to constantly stay curious. I think that's probably one of the most important things that you can take away is that you're never done learning. Right. There's always more. And to kind of push yourself to stay that way, especially with all the access that we have in today's world in 2019, where you can literally look up anything on your phone, there's no excuse to not know what you're talking about. And I think that increases the competition out there because everyone can potentially have the same access to the information. And it's just about how bad you want it. So
totally.
And moving to Nashville and that internship that you took, what drew you to Nashville and how important do you think internships are to a career?
Totally. Yeah. So, my husband's from Alabama and I know yours is too, which is so funny.
We are twins. We are the same person.
So, he kind of brought me to the South and, he ended up getting, into a master's program at Lipscomb, which is a college, in Nashville for those who don't know. So we were kind of looking around the Southeast and then when he got into school, we were kind of like, okay, Nashville it is. We were up for like a new adventure and we had, I think we had each visited Nashville once before, but we were kind of ready to just go to a new city and, explore and kind of create a new life, together as a couple. And so, when he got in, I started looking for, like PR jobs and internships. And, I think that internships are so crucial. First of all, they teach you so much. I know with the internship that I had very hands-on experience, at the firm. I was writing press releases, creating social media posts, doing like all of the things, exactly what I would be doing in my like entry-level position when I actually started working there as an employee. So, I mean, it wasn't like a cliche, like grabbing coffee for your boss kind of internship. It was definitely hands-on. And so first of all, it taught me that, this is what I would actually be doing. And it got my interest sparked in it. And it also taught, my future employer that like I was a hard worker, and it, so it was like a mutually beneficial thing where as you're figuring stuff out, I think it's super important to get hands-on experience before you actually start a job so you realize like what you're drawn to and what you're good at, and then it shows your employer that, you know, you're a hard worker, that you do well, these are your strengths kind of thing. So I think internships are like super important. I think they're worth setting aside time for. I was a graduate, so I had been out of school for a year when I started my internship, and part of me was like, oh, like I'm 23 years old and I'm still interning. It was kind of like a complex that I had, but when I got into it, I was like, this is so valuable. It doesn't even matter. I think it's worth taking the time for sure.
That is such an important thing to call out because I think people, especially in our generation, expect things to be handed to us. We feel very worthy maybe when we don't already have all of the experience that we need. So I think being humble and being willing to step back for the opportunity for learning and not necessarily money right off the bat is so important. And I think so many people hold or, you know, put themselves in bad positions by not taking opportunities that, you know, with a little bit of patience can take you a lot farther. So how did you decide? I mean, were, first of all, was the internship paid? It was.
Yes, which helped.
Absolutely. But still wasn't, you know, a full-time entry-level position, right? Was it full-time or part-time?
So it was full-time. I know that other interns that were with me in, like, my internship class, some of them were, like, seniors. So they were still going to class, and so they didn't have a full-time workload. But luckily, the firm worked with me to be able to give me a full-time spot, and we only got paid $10 an hour, which like isn't that much money, especially moving to a new city and not having any money saved up from my AmeriCorps job. So yeah, it was paid, which definitely helps, and I think that was definitely like the deciding factor in accepting the internship. So I mean, it's helpful, but I think too, like, if you're still taking classes and you can just at least get the credit for it and get the experience, I think it's super important as well.
How long were you an intern before you started?
I was an intern for, like, a semester, so it was, like, about 4-ish or 5-ish months.
Oh, sweet. And then you were promoted?
Yeah, and so then I, like, officially applied to the position, still had to go through, like, the formal interview process just like any other candidate would, which I felt like was super fair because, I mean, yeah, I had a leg up because I had the experience interning at the place, but... it was nice to be able to say, like, I could prove myself, like, in the intern or in the interview rounds. So I had a few rounds of interviews, and then I was hired on just pretty much immediately after. I think it was, like, right before Christmas that I wrapped up the internship, and then, like, January 4th after Christmas, I started working, which was, like, a really smooth transition. Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't even need to, like, move any of my stuff. It was, like, I was already, like, you know, there. So, it was just really nice to be able to kind of transition right into a full-time job.
And my story's a little bit different. I was interning at the company I ultimately got my first job at before. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is a cautionary tale about how internships... I mean, ultimately, it was a huge benefit to have had my internship there and to build those relationships because... I still ended up, you know, when I was unemployed last year, you know, because of the relationships that I created when I worked there, I was able to help them out and work at events and get some extra money on the side. So that's another call out is, you know, don't burn any bridges, and you never know when these contacts and these experiences are gonna help you out later down the road. Even when, you know, I never would have thought that 6 years later my internship would have, like, come in handy again, but it really does matter. Those how well you treat those relationships and how you nurture them and stay in touch with the people who helped get you to where you are. Because if you do show that you work hard and that you care, people will want to help you out. So when I interned at a magazine locally here in Nashville, it was basically because I had an assignment from school to interview someone with a job I wanted, which I think is the best thing that ever happened to me in college and the most memorable project that I had, because I think you have such a leg up in school and with the internship possibility that you can reach for the stars. Like, think about your dream position or your dream boss and go ask them if you can interview them for a school project. You can even lie. I condone that. If you don't actually have a school project, interview them anyway and write something up and pretend like you turned it in, but, like, turn it into them instead about everything that you learned and what you admire about them. But anyway, so I did that, and it kind of led, I loved and I really clicked with a girl that I interviewed with. And so from there, I got an internship, and
that's so cool.
A year later it turned into a job, but it was in, you know, my internship was in marketing because PR was my field, and the job was in, our kind of sales rep area. Right. So I was an account manager for sales, which is a completely different job. You're much more like a liaison between the sales rep and the client, which, you know, I still worked for a company that I loved. Everyone knew me there. They knew my work ethic. They knew how hard I worked. But ultimately, I just was not in the correct place. I needed some more autonomy in my role. I needed creativity. Yes. It was very strict, you know, 8:30 to 5:30. And ultimately, I wasn't thriving in the place in the company that I was in. So I had to pivot. But like I said, 7 years later, I was in a pinch, and those same people that I worked with and built relationships with helped me out again. So no experience is ever lost. Like, you always are going to be able to find a silver lining from any experience. And just even when you're confronted with conflict, which, you know, before I left, there was a little bit of conflict there with the sales rep that I worked with, but I didn't burn any bridges, right? So there's always a graceful way to bow out and to know, you know, your strengths and when you need to leave, even.
Right. And I think what's important that we both have realized in former jobs is, like, you're never going to find, like, the exact perfect place to work. I feel like, you know, there's places that check a lot of boxes, but, like, it's also important to have experiences where you don't love your position or where you worked, because ultimately it makes you so appreciative of, like, improving and getting a better job. Like, I love where I work now, but I don't think I would appreciate it unless I had worked at some places Absolutely. That I didn't love. And so I think we both have that experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes you see the good.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And using connections is also important. I know when mm-hmm. both of us, we're applying here at Ancient Nutrition, we knew people who worked here already. So mm-hmm. I think that for me validated the company in a way, mm-hmm. Because I knew the person who worked here had an insane skill level and yes. was really great at her job and was highly sought after mm-hmm. in her field. So she chose Ancient Nutrition. I was like, man, that must be a great place to exactly. work. So, don't count out your network when you're looking for yeah. jobs, and don't be afraid to ask for help or ask for a recommendation. You know, I didn't really know this person. I knew her through my husband and his last job, but she was so willing to put in a good word for me because she knew him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't afraid to reach out and kind of ask, hey, what's this role like? What's working at Ancient Nutrition like? And that can never hurt, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I always think about that because I'm like kind of naturally shy when it comes to like just cold reaching out to people and asking for something. But I always think about like,
hold up, what is your job?
Not like in my job, but like personally, if yeah, like my yeah, like yeah. I don't know, I feel like sometimes I'm like, when my like reputation is like, I don't want to come across as like desperate, like as like just an individual like, hi, like I need a job. But I always think about it like, the worst thing that can happen is like they don't respond, or they say like, sorry, not at this time, like I can't help you, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is the worst. You're just at square yeah. one where you started, like nothing bad will happen. So I always tell myself that in those situations, like no big deal.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
that's how I met my husband. I left a random note on his car, and my thought process was like, well, if he doesn't call me, he doesn't know who I am exactly. anyway.
So. Yep. And like where you are now.
I know. you got to take chances in this world. Nothing's going to be handed to you. And that's for exactly, sure. So
for sure.
You got to have that little bit of confidence. So
Agreed.
We asked our little social circle some questions that you all may have for us as influencer marketing specialists. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to run through some of those questions and answer some of your thoughts about what we do on a daily basis and what our job entails. So the first question is, what was your most successful campaign and how did you know it was successful?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, because I think the first thing you need to ask yourself when you're answering that question is like, how do you measure success? Mm-hmm. So I think that we measure it in different ways, like depending on the campaign and the product that we're launching and promoting, we have different measures. So I think engagement is super important, knowing that people are like actually interacting with your product. But I think also starting out with figuring out who the best people are to work with, especially with influencer marketing. So does it make sense for me to kind of just like chat through like the book that we, mm-hmm. Okay. So we like, helped with promoting a book that one of our founders wrote back in February, and it was basically like handpicking super fans of the book and our founder, and figuring out who aligned like best with the people who are actually going to end up reading the book. And so
which was very specific, which the is topic specific. Of this book had a very niche audience. Mm-hmm. So it was especially challenging for Elizabeth and myself to find people who would really connect with the message and the content, because yes, our co-founder has super fans, plenty mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah.
But this was especially challenging because we had a double layer of measurements
yeah.
to get through.
Yeah, objectives.
Objectives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Words.
Yeah.
This is why we're the best team.
I know. We complement each other so well.
So, you know, when you are, you know, an influencer, you have influencer friends that can kind of help you out with promoting things, or you would hope that the unwritten rule would be, you know, I help promote your thing, you help promote mine, which mm-hmm. I think is a just interesting thing in itself between influencers. But, go ahead. I totally jumped in.
Yeah, I was just going to say for that, that we just wanted to make sure that the content was super authentic, but we also had the challenge of, like, we're used to promoting products that people can create recipes with and interact with and, like, show their daily, like, morning smoothie using collagen or protein or whatever. So with the book, we were like, this is kind of new territory for us. So finding, like, people that could post about the book in an engaging way, which I feel like a book is kind of hard to, like, display as, like, something you can interact with in a static picture.
Yeah, Instagram is such a visual platform. Yes. Yes. So, you know, we really had to get creative.
Yes.
So for this campaign, maybe engagement wasn't as important as the reach.
Right, exactly. And just physically getting out the word that, like, this book is launching. We had to make sure that people were posting about the date it was launching on, and then ultimately having these people at the end of it all write reviews about the book because they read it. And so having just, like, the reach, I think the reach goal was super important, and I know that we, like, knocked that out of the park. But yeah, engagement wasn't so good, but I think we considered it a success because we just spread the word ultimately to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, there are some campaigns that we work on that, you know, are a triple whammy, and we're able to offer a great product that looks aesthetically pleasing and that you can incorporate in so many different ways into your lifestyle, which we've learned from working with influencers all this time that it's important to, or it really makes a difference to be able to offer a product that people will really, really embrace.
Yeah, exactly. I know that for one of our recent campaigns, we were able to, like, send like an interactive piece to it. So, like, basically creating, like, a air freshener kind of spray, including, like, a bottle with it, and essential oils where they can make their own, like, air freshener spray, which was just, like,
fun. DIY poopery, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't sure if we could go there.
Yeah, we're going there. I mean, I don't know. I think pooping is cool now.
Yeah, it really is a hot topic. Mm-hmm. So
gut health. I mean, yeah, we all just went on a trip together to New York, and none of us were ashamed to talk about
how
regular or irregular we were. Because let's be honest, nobody likes to be backed up.
No, it's not cute.
And it affects your mood. You're in the health and wellness industry, you understand the connection between what you're eating and digesting and being bloated. Yes. And, you know, a healthy evacuation helps with all of that.
Amen, sister.
We're all happier. Come on.
It's so true.
Yeah, so there's nothing to be ashamed of there. Great.
Well, now that we're on the topic, just having a poopery spray, and so having something where people could interact with was really important, and so we felt that we got more engagement on story, or ultimately more people, like, watching stories and creating, like, longer stories for us, influencers doing that we sent the packages to, because there was that interactive piece. So I thought that was a win as well. So I think that overall, like, successes are just depending on what you're promoting and the kind of people you want to reach, and engagement too. So there's a lot of different factors. It's kind of hard to put in a box, I feel like.
I think the key takeaway here is making sure that the very beginning of each campaign that you outline specifically, I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but before the campaign even starts, talking about what success looks like, and between campaign to campaign, it can be different. Yes. So just making sure that you're aware of that and that you spend time talking through the strategy for that specific goal, whether it's engagement, reach, or content creation, you know, that's a really fun part of the job too. No two campaigns are the same.
Exactly. It keeps things fresh.
We also get asked a lot from influencers, especially what we as a brand look at more, whether it's follower count or engagement.
Yeah. And I think the simple answer to that is both. I think that, engagement is really important, especially if you're working with smaller influencers. Just looking at that engagement number and making sure that these followers are authentic and actually engaging with the product and or their posts or whatever they're posting about. So engagement, I think, is important from the standpoint of, like, okay, knowing that people are actually looking at people's posts and engaging with them and getting, like, value out of them. Also, though, with follower count, you're reaching more people at the end of the day, and so that's really attractive from a brand standpoint in terms of just, like, brand awareness and spreading the word. But we've also seen, and this should be no surprise to anyone, that engagement levels go down as people's follower levels go up. So being realistic about engagement numbers there, I think, is super important, too. At the end of the day, I think it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's super easy to spot check Elizabeth and myself. Mm-hmm. Just kind of scrolling down someone's feed. We probably look at the first page or so of Instagram posts and kind of click randomly on people's posts just to kind of see the likes and comments and also the quality of the comments mm-hmm. that they have. And it's pretty yeah. easy for us to, you know, sometimes I'll do the total engagements times 30 cents because mm-hmm. that's our goal is like mm-hmm. 30 cents per engagement. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll do that to kind of calculate how much I would pay them and then match that against their following count and mm-hmm. see if that meets the standard of $10 per thousand. So, you know, we've gotten really good at being able to spot check people's authenticity. Yes. And, you know, yes. at one of the events that we had earlier this year, our influencers were kind of talking about how they were annoyed with other influencers that get mm-hmm. to work with all these big brands, yes. but their engagement stinks and they mm-hmm. get frustrated because, you know, they spend a lot of time making sure their content is great and quality and that they're authentic with their followers, but they feel like they don't get the same amount of attention from brands. Mm-hmm. Whereas where we come from, you know, that's super important to us. And that's something that we look at first and foremost is the authenticity of the influencer with their audience and how much right. they interact with them and that they're not selling something in every single product.
Yes, and so important.
So honestly, follower count and engagement are super important. I would say that engagement to me is more important. Mm-hmm. I personally would go out on a limb and risk more on micro influencers because their engagement is so great mm-hmm. that I think that they are definitely worth the time, but it's just kind of hard to I guess rationalize that with some leadership and higher ups who really do focus on reach and how important it is, because, you know, in my opinion, even if someone has a ton of followers, if their engagement is mm-hmm. low, we might be paying more than they're worth. So
yep.
I'd rather risk and not spend any money mm-hmm. than risk and spend money that doesn't really pay off
it's
in the long run.
It's more of a gamble, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, so really focus on both. I think yeah. especially if you're new to the influencer game and growing, brands will notice how engaged that your following is mm-hmm. and give you a shot based on that. Plus, if you're willing to do content for free as, mm-hmm. as a micro-influencer as you grow, it's really a win-win for the brand. So they're not ever right. going to say no to that. And the more experience you have, just like as, think of it as your internship as an influencer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're working for free, but you're still yes. gaining experience. You can still add these people to your media kit and say, I've worked with them. And the more experience you have, honestly, the better that you're going to be mm-hmm. and the more professional you're going to be. So
such a good point.
I would definitely suggest that as well.
Yeah.
So the last question that we get a lot is, what does the influencer marketing specialist role entail, aka, like, what do we do every day?
Yeah, like, I always kind of joke that I'm a millennial, and this is the most millennial job I could have, and, like, I know my family kind of rolls their eyes at my job, because they're like, what do you even do? You're on social all day.
My uncle, I just went to dinner with them 2 days ago, and my aunt was saying, yeah, your uncle said that you do something, like you're an influencer, and I said, close, but no. I'm very different from actually being an influencer, although I do work with them, yeah. So it is funny trying to explain what we do to other people.
Oh, it's so hard to explain to, like, people that are even a generation above us. Like, how do you explain that there's people that got, like, famous on social media, like, out of nowhere, and now we're working with them
that
to, like,
paid
promote
to
our products?
Yeah. It's like a billboard, but on Instagram.
Yeah. There we go. I like that. That's good. But it's a lot of hard work, honestly. So I think Julie has established this before, but this was an entirely new role when we started at this company. And so we've been trying to navigate it for the past, how long have we been here? 8 months or
yeah.
so?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of been evolving even every single step that we've mm-hmm. gone
It's a sprint for sure. I think about all that we've accomplished in these 8 months, and we run at least 2 campaigns a month,
yeah,
you know, since we got here. Mm-hmm. So the workload and the campaign load with how many products we're launching and starting at a startup gives us an advantage, yes, because we have so much experience running campaigns at this point.
It's so fast-paced.
And I would say that that's kind of the core of mm-hmm. what we do, is create and execute campaigns. Mm-hmm. Of course, in order to be able to do that, the relationship building piece is super important. Mm-hmm. So essentially I would say that we are account managers for Instagram influencers.
Yeah. I haven't thought about it that way, but that's like the perfect way to describe it. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of strategy that goes behind the campaigns that you were just mentioning. I know that, like, you know, summer's coming up, and so there are products that are more related to summer that we'll be launching later. And so thinking through the best influencers to pair with this campaign, the best way to promote it, the best messaging around it, mm-hmm. talking about, like, summer and beauty and all of that. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to find, like, specific influencers that match up with the strategy that we have behind a campaign. So it's a lot of planning and a lot of brainstorming and a lot that goes behind a campaign before we launch it. And so mm-hmm. a lot of that is, like, creativity and brainstorming and meeting.
Fun. Just thinking about the campaign that we just set up, you know, mm-hmm. we talked about what we're offering people, what kind of influencers that we're reaching out to, mm-hmm. what we're asking from them, what types of products we want to send them. Mm-hmm. So we are super, super specific. If you get a message from Elizabeth and myself, you have been chosen.
You're very special. Specifically,
you are, because we really think through who we want to invite to campaigns. We don't just blast off messages
right.
to any and everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to make sure that it's a great fit from both sides. Mm-hmm. And I think that something Elizabeth just touched on with thinking through how to incorporate influencers into our overall strategy, it goes into the overall umbrella of our social media strategy at our job. So mm-hmm. we are underneath the social media director, and we work with the social media strategist on how to utilize and capitalize on our influencers. For example, mm-hmm. the videos that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, that's a new thing that we're testing out with IGTV being such a great thing. You know, we're like, hey, why don't we use our influencers in these IGTV videos to share more about our products with our audience, right? Mm-hmm. So, and who better to do that than with people who engage with it often, are used to being right. on camera, you know, have their own or are validated by their own social followings because of what they offer to the world. So mm-hmm. it's really combining all facets of, I don't know, utilizing and leveraging these people that we work yeah. with who are essentially spokespeople and fans of the brand.
Right. And I think a really important part of this, and I think Julia has this down to a T, is the relationship building aspect of it. It's not just like we're hitting up people like, hey, do you want to join this campaign? We don't know who you are. It's like nurturing and building relationships that is so important, especially local Nashville influencers. I know Julia is really good about, like, grabbing coffee with her influencers and, like, finding a way to, like, build a relationship outside of work, which I think is such a key aspect of not only just building relationship and building trust with the brand, but also figuring out their strengths and, like, integrating them more into the brand and getting mm-hmm. authentic content out mm-hmm. of them so that they know us and trust us and are excited about working with us and, like, spend the extra time and effort to create content that's, you know, better than we could have asked for. So
thank you. And yeah, you do as well. And I think that's something that's both of our strengths, is mm-hmm. that we genuinely love our job and love working with the people we do. We get so excited
yeah.
every day when someone will email us, be like, oh my gosh, I heard back from so-and-so. Yeah. And it's really like little mini gifts to ourselves every day. I mean, we yeah. get to think about, and I'm kind of echoing what I said before about reaching for the stars with your internship. We reach for the stars with the influencers yes. we work with. We both love podcasts. We both mm-hmm. love social media. We're both super into it and self-development. So we find mm-hmm. really great influencers that have incredibly insane. I'm combining words now because I'm so excited. Their authenticity with their followers is mm-hmm. insane because they are so great at what they do yeah. and they offer such value. So we do that. We are like, hey, this person is awesome. I buy everything that they sell on their podcast. Yes. Like, we have to work with them because if they love our products, like, we know they will. the relationship that they have with their followers is really going to result in great things for our brand mm-hmm. and highlighting our products. So it's so much fun to be able to have ideas and get to put them into motion. Yeah. We are not limited by a lot of red tape here.
It's so nice.
So honestly, my favorite part of the job is all of it. I mean, there of course are days where we're unloading boxes and yeah. we're doing tedious entry into our Google spreadsheets and all of the things that most jobs are going to have, mm-hmm. but the good a million times outweighs the bad. We get yeah. so much great experience and we get to meet so many incredible people that we both personally look up to mm-hmm. that it's just kind of a dream job.
It really is. And at the end of the day, like, we give free stuff to people and work with them, like work with these amazing people that we've always wanted to work with and interact with people like we never have a chance to, and exactly. ultimately grow a wellness brand that we both really believe in is so rewarding, and getting to see the fruits of our labor so quickly with this shop.
Yeah, that's true.
So all around, it's just yeah. great.
I mean, when we started, we weren't even at 50K yet. That uh-huh. was 8 months ago, and we just hit the over 100,000 follower mark. And
on Instagram,
I'm gonna pat you on the back, E. Like, we helped with that, too. You know, like yeah. directly our role impacts Instagram.
Right.
So
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I can't help but think that we did have something
that's
to do with that.
Part.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Supporting the team overall, which mm-hmm. is really, really fun, and getting to see, like you said, the brand grow yeah. And strengthen, not just mm-hmm. grow, but just become more integrated into people's lifestyles in a real way.
Right.
So.
I totally agree. That's awesome.
Yay. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
For me.
Being
this
my
is
first guest. I mean, I had to. You are my right-hand woman.
I know. We're like twins. Sometimes it's kind of crazy. It's a yeah. little creepy, but it's
it
fun.
It is. So thanks for joining us on this, my first interview episode.
Yay,
hope you guys
I'm
enjoyed
honored.
It.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Oh, wait. Tell them where to follow you. We have to pimp ourselves out.
Okay. Oh,
what have we learned from Lauren Everts if not to pimp ourselves out?
Okay, come follow me on Instagram. My handle is @Elizabeth_Teel, spelled T-E-E-L. Like the color, but not spelled the same.
She's so cute. All right, guys. See you next time. All right, guys, you heard it here first. It is possible to absolutely love your job, have a blast, and work your butt off at the very same time. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we loved recording it. We've had it planned for so long and are so excited to finally share with you guys a little bit more about what we do. You can find us on Instagram @JulesThompson. That's Thompson spelled without the O's, and @Elizabeth_Teel. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you loved about this episode and who you want to hear on the Added Value Podcast next. And as always, we'd really appreciate it if you would share this on your stories, share this with a friend who would find this interesting. Maybe if you know somebody who wants to get into influencer marketing but doesn't know necessarily how, this is a great episode to share with them. I always really appreciate your support and feedback and would love to hear from you. And I'm so excited to keep bringing you awesome added value. Talk to y'all later.